Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast, everyone. My name is Erica, and I am the creator and the writer behind Bring Your Own Kombucha, which is both a podcast, which you know since you're listening in, but it's also a blog. You can head over to www.bringyourownkombucha.com to check out a ton of health and wellness, and I've sprinkled a lot of pregnancy information in there as well, and I'm sure as I become a new mom, I will be talking a little bit about that as well. Today's episode is number 61. I can't believe we are this far into the season. It features Sarah Kurt, and she is a full-time personal trainer, a nutrition and wellness coach with a degree in nutritional science and public health from very prestigious university, Boston University, and she also did 4 years of Division I athletics. So when I say that Sarah has experience in the health and wellness realm, yeah, I definitely mean that she does. She has so many amazing credentials. And overall, we talk about her focus to help individuals achieve their health and wellness and fitness goals, while simultaneously supporting them to develop sustainable behavioral changes that will aid in creating their own unique healthy lifestyle. She really wants to change habits for her clients and to just help them build this like foundation to a healthier and happier life. We also talk a little bit about her Instagram because she is a influencer in this space, and she has just grown her blog and Instagram like exponentially in such a short amount of time. So I thought, why not ask her about those questions as well? So before we jump in, I just want to mention that I am a Beauty Counter rep. Beauty Counter is a non-toxic makeup and beauty company, and all of their products are extremely clean and safe. And if you want to check them out, I will leave all that information for you guys in the show notes. So without further ado, let's jump into today's episode with Sarah Kurt. Hi, everyone, and before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout-out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding, so you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event, and upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic, they don't test on animals, they are vegan, they use natural aromas, and they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge. And Gina actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically the purpose of the konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions. And it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies. But because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com. And try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook. And again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18. And make sure the BYOK is capitalized. And Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, Sarah, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Erica. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. For those that may not be familiar with your very popular Instagram and wellness feed, would you mind just giving everybody a brief background about yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm a full-time personal trainer, nutritionist, and like a wellness behavioral change specialist. And I kind of got there because last year, I graduated from Boston University, and my major was nutritional science and public health. And while I was there, I also pole vaulted for their track team. And when I graduated, I kind of knew, number one, I wanted to move to Virginia because I wanted to live with my boyfriend and we both wanted to be south. But I also was trying to figure out if I wanted to be in the public health sector or not, and just with the political, just in school, learning about how political public health is, it was really frustrating to me, and I wanted just to be able to impact more individuals' lives. So I started looking into personal training because it seemed like a really good fit since my sports background. And then at the same time, of course, my degree was in nutrition, and I had personally really felt the effects of the power of nutrition. So I found work in an amazing like personal training studio here. I'm still there. I love it. It's a great place and I have amazing clients. And then as well as my personal training work, I also do nutritionist counseling, a lot of wellness and behavioral change coaching. And when all of that started, when I moved, I decided it would be fun just to try to make it like a Fitstagram, because my friends and I in Boston used to joke about it. And I was like, well, my job doesn't start for 3 months. I'm super crazy. And when I'm not working, I lose my mind. So I might as well throw myself into something. So I just gave it a go. And it just turned out to be really, really fun. And that's just kind of how I ended up here, I guess.
So let's talk a little bit about your Instagram first, because about a year ago you created your Instagram?
Yeah, so I started, I believe, in the beginning of June 2017.
Oh, wow, so congratulations. You really hit that 1 year mark.
Yes, I did, thank you.
And you have, like, over 14,000 followers. Like, how did you do that? Because there are so many wellness and fitness instructors.
Yeah. So there's a few things. The first, probably like main factor, is the fact that I moved, and I was so, like, I didn't start my job until August. So in those, like, few months in the summer, I, like, when I say I'm, like, crazy, I need to be doing things all the time. I'm not joking. So I spent, like, every day in and day out working on it with the engagement and the photos. And I think if you probably are following my Instagram, you probably noticed the past 6 months I'm not nearly as consistent, just because work has been so, so busy. But one of the main factors is that when I started, I just had nothing else to do, and I just totally threw myself into it. And then another, a couple other things. I continue to work for a nonprofit based out of Boston. It's called Cycle Kids. And I started with them when I was a junior in college. And one of my primary jobs is to manage their social media. And doing that, I've had the privilege to be able to work with some really big social media firms. So I have gotten to learn a lot there. And I'm really obsessed with podcasting, or listening to podcasts. And there's a few in particular that I, at the same time, also was like throwing myself into listening to all the time. So every time I just heard something that, just to give it a go, I would just implement. And I guess I was just lucky enough that it was able to take off. I like to think that some of it is because I really prioritize, like, no bullshit, no filters, like, really straightforward and honest on my social media, because that's how I am as an individual and a professional. And that's one of the biggest things I really hate about the fitness and nutrition industry, the fads, the diets, the bad workouts, the fake, you know, like, Instagram bots, all of that. And I think right now, just in our current, like, culture, it's a really good time for that to really be pushed. So I think a few couple of things all came together at the right time. And I mean, my growth has definitely slowed down since I haven't been throwing myself into it. So you can definitely see, like, you know, the time matters.
Absolutely. Now, when you say engagement, for those who really aren't, like, familiar with, I guess, like, the Instagram lingo and, like, what that actually means, like, what did you do in terms of engagement?
So I joined a few. Well, what actually first started it all was joining the Skinny Confidential Facebook page. I think that's how I connected with you initially.
Yeah, it is.
I joined a few, like, pod groups, engagement groups, and that was, those were overwhelming, but it was a really cool way to just meet a lot of other like-minded women on social media who had similar goals. So now when I go and I can see all of you guys doing your thing, we can all support each other. So engagement being like following people I'm interested in, liking, commenting when people comment on my things, making sure to give them attention back, all of that stuff. And then just like discovering new accounts. And I know there's a lot with like the Instagram, what is it? Everyone's obsessed with it. The
Instagram TV?
No, I'm sorry, I can't think. When they changed the setting,
the algorithm. Yeah.
Like, I never tried to like beat the algorithm, I guess. And I know, like, I think one of the things is like the more time you are on Instagram, the better that like kind of gives you points for engagement. So I was definitely like on Instagram a lot more. But I think the main thing was just connecting with like-minded people and other women that I just really liked their content and supported. And it's fun to see other people's journeys, and it just turned into a really cool community. So I think that's where I was successful, not just following random accounts.
Absolutely. And you know what? I liked something that you said earlier. You were kind of talking about how your Instagram has more of like a no BS approach, and it's not just like, you know, how to plump your booty or, you know, all these like ridiculous things that may or may not work. You're super straightforward, and I think that is really apparent in your Instagram feed. And it really does set you apart from, you know, other people. But I also like the diversity, because you have like the background of nutrition, you have the personal training, you know, you went to college for this. So I think that also gives you like a lot of credibility as well.
Yeah, thank you. And I mean, it's, a lot of it I too, I think I'm sorry, I can't talk this morning. I give a lot of credit to my degree because public health, I was really initially introduced to wellness while studying for public health, as well as just like treating and maintaining my own mental health. And wellness is very broad, and it just works very well with nutrition and fitness. And because a practitioner, my goal is to help people live their best lives at all stages of their life and to develop sustainable habits that will help them to be the best versions of themselves. And I really like that wellness is broad because, like, finance, it might not seem related to health, but it really is. And, you know, your social skills or your social life, the same thing might not seem related, or education or knowledge, all those things, they might not seem related, but wellness helps connect everything together so that when you're making, when someone is trying to, say, make some changes in their life to be healthier, it helps them to be a lot more successful because the motivators are much stronger and it's easier for them to kind of remember why am I doing this? Why is this important? Because I think that's a big problem for people, just kind of staying connected with the reason why they're doing something.
Absolutely. So with that being said, what actually like encouraged you to pursue a degree in nutrition, like, or public health, I should say, like going way back to the very beginning before you graduated and moved and you were able to like pull together?
Well, the story is kind of funny because it doesn't seem like none of it I really did on purpose, but it all turned out really well. So my freshman year of college, I entered, my dad's a nephrologist, that's a kidney doctor, and I've always wanted to be a doctor. So I entered BU as a freshman with my major biology pre-med. And I was like dead set on being a doctor. Went in, had my first semester, all the weed out. If you've never been to college, like the biology 101, the chemistry 101, all those like weed out courses, especially at a really big competitive school like BU, are like hell on earth. And my first semester was fine. My second semester, I didn't love the competitiveness. I thought it was stupid. And my dad and I are really close, and we talk about the healthcare system a lot, and we talk about the medical system a lot. And I was like, Dad, you know, these weed out courses, they are so incredibly hard. It doesn't seem to make sense to me because a lot of physicians actually don't use chemistry that much. You know, nephrologist does because my dad's field. But let's say at the time I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon. And I was like, but if I were to be an orthopedic surgeon, I'm not utilizing chemistry nearly as much. Why are these courses so hard? And he said, his response was like, you know, I think the road to become a doctor really needs to be changed. And he, it's a big topic, but it was just a mess. And I was starting to get really frustrated with it. All the kids were like, just everyone was like, what AP classes did you take in high school? And I'm like, why does it matter? Like, leave me alone. The professors were very, like, when you think of, like, a tenured male professor, it was, like, very much that. And I just wasn't happy. And I was starting with track in my first year at school and so many changes and having to pay more attention to my mental health, I was realizing, you know, like, this might not be what I want to do, and I'm not happy, and I should be happy, and I think I have a lot more interests. So after that year, I transferred into the School of Health Sciences at BU, which is an amazing college, and I started out on a nutrition dietetics path, so if I were to become a registered dietitian. So that first half of that year was good. But I did have shoulder surgery, so that made it a little bit more challenging school-wise. And then this is where it gets funny, my second semester, it was in April or March, and it was the day that I was finally approved to try pole vaulting again after having shoulder surgery. I go to practice, I pole vault, it went great. I went to my 3-hour food science lecture right afterwards. And throughout the class, my stomach started hurting. And by the end of the 3 hours, I couldn't stand up.
Oh, no.
So then I wind up in the hospital for an emergency appendectomy. And they found out I had endometriosis. It was a whole mess. But long story short, this was all like right before finals. And at the time, one of the classes I was taking was organic chemistry, which is my like nemesis. It was so hard for me. So naturally, I failed the final. And in order to continue on in the dietetics program, you needed to get a C+, I believe, in that class or something. And I didn't have a C+. And I could, so they said, so you either need to switch your majors because you can't continue. So I petitioned them and I said, well, I do have extenuating circumstances. I had surgery like a week ago. And the woman was like, nope, sorry. So then from there, I could stay in nutrition. I just couldn't do dietetics. So then I started, I had a great, what is it called? I'm sorry again. I had a really amazing advisor. And anyone who's in college, if they haven't utilized their advisors, I would definitely recommend doing so. This woman was, I'm still really close with her to this day, and she's incredible. And I really give her a lot of credit for ending up where I am now. She encouraged me to try nutrition, the nutritional track with a focus in public health. And at Boston University, they have an actual school of public health that's only for master's programs. But undergrads get to take all the master's classes. So I started that my junior and went through my junior and senior year there. And it was just like an amazing fit. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I almost ended up trying to become a doctor, because like, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And just everything resonated with me. It was a great balance between nutritional science and counseling and wellness because of that public health aspect. And I met some great people and my professors were lovely and it was just perfect. And then I also found Cycle Kids, the nonprofit I work for still, which is just a great little group of people. And I get to use my nutrition and my public health and my wellness background to help with my work there. So it just worked out wonderfully.
It's always such like a blessing when everything falls into place, but like the road to get there is like, you know, just like one thing after another, you're like, when is this going to work out?
I remember like after finding out that I failed that organic chemistry exam, calling my mom crying like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
And you're like, my life is over, but really it's not.
Exactly. And then it turned out like better than I could have ever asked for. So I always say to people, like, if something like that happens, like, just give it a moment, breathe through it, and it's going to work out. Because at least for me, I was so lucky. It really, really did.
So what is Cycle Kids? Can you tell us a little bit more about that nonprofit?
So Cycle Kids is a nonprofit. It was founded in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So now they're based out of Cambridge and New York City. And I've been working with them for like 3 years now. We're a nonprofit that our mission is to strengthen social, emotional, and physical health of children, especially underprivileged children, but any and all children across the country and maybe the world. So what we've done, or I haven't done, but Julie, my boss, is the founder. She's an incredible woman. She's so inspiring. Developed a program. So it's basically a nutrition and bike riding curriculum that is brought into elementary schools and taught by the PE teachers to third through sixth graders. And with the learning how to ride a bike, they also learn nutrition and they learn how, so that's kind of like the biking and the nutrition are the core. But then what we've seen that's been incredible is all of the extra benefits the children are getting. Like they're learning leadership skills, they're learning how to get along with each other because some of these children are just in really bad circumstances and, you know, might be angry. They don't have any adult role models. So we've just seen incredible work, just things happening with them. They bonded their teachers. We've been working with Navajo Nation now. So we're all the way from like Massachusetts through the Midwest in California. And I do social media and I do, blog, right? We have a blog called the Cycle Kids Family Hub, and I am now doing all the blog writing for that. And sometimes a nonprofit can be a little pain in the butt, but I really love it. And it's just for such a good cause, and the people I work for are so amazing, work with are so amazing. And actually all of us girls right now who work for Cycle Kids all came from BU, which is kind of weird and just random. So it's just fun. And I think there's a lot of potential there, and we've been kind of experienced some positive growing pains the past like year and a half. So we're all really excited to see how hopefully Cycle Kids can explode, because the ideal goal would be to see Cycle Kids in every elementary school across the country. So that's kind of our long-term, you know, perfect world goal.
Absolutely. And that's really cool, because it's hard to find, you know, an organization that you can stand behind and really, you know, because you're doing this on top of your personal training. And
yeah, it's great too, because like when Julie, she's my boss, when she first started Cycle Kids, her kind of vision was to address childhood obesity. But it's been about 14 years now, and as the program has grown and developed, she's seen how big of the social emotional impact for the children. So we've kind of changed and morphed the organization as we've seen what the kids get out of it, which is, I think, amazing, because I think a lot of companies get really stuck in what they want to do. But she is insightful and like wise enough to see what the children are actually getting from this in the communities, and building off of that and trying to make the program even more serviceful to these people. And now just with mental health being like the new epidemic in the United States, especially for kids, I'm thrilled that that's kind of the direction we're going in, because I think we have the potential to make a really positive impact.
Absolutely. And shifting gears just a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about your personal training background. How do you go about becoming a personal trainer for those who don't know?
So technically, all you need to do to become a personal trainer, some gyms have their own like certifications that they will have you do, and they'll pay for them. But I always recommend someone going out to get a national certification. Those are much more reputable, and they're very well respected. And if anyone's like an accountant, or I know you're an attorney, so you probably know you have to maintain your CEUs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with personal training. You have to keep up with your CEUs. So basically, I have a bachelor's degree, and all of the people I work with have at least a bachelor's degree, but you don't need... The only certification that you need a bachelor degree for is the NSCA Certified Personal Training certification, which is the one I have. But all of the other ones, like there's ACE, ACE, NSSA, ASM, there's so many different ones. I can't remember off the top of my head, but most of those you don't need a degree. So it's definitely not a requirement. It's kind of just a bonus. But you go to those websites, and if you're ever like wanting to train and saying, oh, what certification would you recommend? Shoot me a message and I can go over it with you. It's kind of case by case basis, depending on your background and what your goals are, because they're all just a little bit different. But you could basically, I bought the textbook, I studied up for a month, I went into a Pearson testing center, took the exam, passed it, thankfully. And then I was able to apply for training jobs. And then I found the studio that I'm at now, which is a Fitness Together. I'm in Norfolk, Virginia. And it's an incredible place to work, especially because most personal trainers start out in like big box gyms. So like a One Life Fitness or YMCA or Gold's Gym. I'm trying to think, all the different big gyms. And part of being a personal trainer in those scenarios that a lot of people don't realize is that you have to be good at sales. You have to find your clients. You have to go on the floor. You have to make connections with people. And that's like a really challenging part for a lot of trainers, because a lot of people expect to go in saying, well, I'm just going to have all these clients and make all this money. But you have to really build up your clientele. But where I work, it's It's not a big box gym. It's a studio that does only personal training. So when I came in, I was also lucky enough to be taking over for another trainer who was leaving. So I was able to inherit his clients. And then since then, I've also built up my own additional base of clients. And in a studio type environment, I'm not pressured as much for the sales and finding clients. My bosses, the owners of the studio, do that, which is for me amazing because I don't love the sales part and I can just focus on my work. And then trainers can also work independently on their own. You could open your own business. You could do programs off of Instagram or online. It all depends. It's very flexible. I would just recommend to anyone who's if they were to be working on their own, make sure you get insurance for yourself and for your clients. I think that's something a lot of, especially with Instagram being so big, a lot of people don't think of that factor. And, you know, you're training someone and they get hurt and they sue you and you don't have insurance. So that could potentially ruin the next 5 years for you. So just keep those practicalities in mind. There's always benefits of working for someone else and there's benefits for working for yourself. So you kind of have to be practical and weigh all of your options.
That's a really great tip. And that's funny because my husband actually says the same thing to me all the time. He's like, why don't you just open up your own firm, you know, do practice law on your own individually. And I'm like, You have to get malpractice insurance. And malpractice insurance is expensive. You need to be able to have a good clientele base to be able to outweigh that cost and, have a
just
surplus.
Just because you have the business doesn't mean the clients are just going to come to you. You have to have that.
Absolutely. So that's a really great tip. And I actually, I didn't even realize that would be like an issue for personal trainers. Like, you're right. Have to get your sales.
Yeah. And I mean, when I was in college, I worked at a gym in Boston. I was just a front desk person, but I was some of my best friends were trainers from that gym. That was a big thing. Like they would complain about, the gym would help them find clients sometimes, especially if because they wanted business as well. If the trainer is getting business, that means the gym is getting business. Everyone is happy. That was always, and they would always have to work the floor. And I would look at that and say, oh my God, I would not want to do that. I don't want to approach random people and be like, hey, want to train with me? So it was really nice coming into where I am now. Because obviously if I encounter someone who I think, might be a great fit, I would always encourage them to come by the studio. But the pressure of having to find clients is so much less there. You really have to really think hard about what you want and what you're willing to learn. And I would, if anyone wants to become a personal trainer, definitely take the time to just learn a little bit about business and sales. It's just super valuable. They don't teach you that in your certifications. The certifications are mostly in regards to the training itself. NSCA actually have a lot of resources for trainers with like contracts and liability and law, just some kind of starting places. And they do offer insurance for trainers, but of course you have to pay for it. And I don't really know how expensive it is. I'm assuming it's not cheap. And those are just all things though you have to keep in mind. And I would definitely suggest to anyone, not even just a trainer, someone wanting, if you're a nutritionist or if you are some kind of coach or a blogger, even like just do some learning and research about, sorry, she's harassing the cats. Okay, sorry.
That's no worries.
I would just recommend taking some time to learn a little bit about business and sales because it's really helpful.
100%. So my next question for you is, since you train people day in and day out, what are like the most common mistakes that you see?
For fitness, definitely for females, wanting to lose weight and wanting to do all cardio like 7 days a week and not wanting to touch weights, or if they are touching weights, stop at 5 pounds. That's definitely number one for females. For both genders, the idea of like needing to just like be overtraining. So like someone who's coming in just for general health and fitness, want to get a little bit leaner, thinking they need to be training like 6 days a week. Definitely not necessary. And the third one would be definitely the different diets. They drive me insane. People saying things like, oh, well, I can't have fat, or, well, I know carbs are bad, and wanting to coming in to me now, oh, like, I want to try this diet, I want to try this diet, or I've done this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay, let's slow down. And let's start, like, I have to really slow people down. And the biggest part is kind of changing the way they think about what they think they know about health and fitness and nutrition, which requires a lot of patience. And a lot of people who come to me, I mean, personal training isn't the cheapest thing in the world. They're all pretty successful people. And with success and work comes stress. And I really, especially my like really type A people, I really try to spend the time with wellness and balance and, I'm sorry, like self-care, self-love, all of those things. Because a lot of these people are like, go, 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 go. And they try, and they're really hard on themselves. And I am too, so I can kind of understand. But it's helpful to have like a third party there saying to you, okay, like, let's take a step back. Repeat what you just said to me. Would you say that to someone else that you love? Yes or no? Probably no. And kind of just changing the way they think and the way they kind of treat themselves.
I love that. That's a really, really powerful tip. I know you said earlier that you listen to like a lot of podcasts. Do you have any recommendations for anybody who might be interested in personal training or just kind of like dipping their toes in the health and wellness world, like podcasts, books, anything?
My absolute favorite podcast ever, other than this one, it's called Mind Pump, MindPump. I discovered Mind Pump when I first moved here, and I credit that podcast for a lot of what I've learned. And it's not that it kind of gave me a lot of information that I didn't already know, but the three guys who run it, they're in their 30s. They've been in the fitness industry for like 20 years. They're super, super smart. And between the three of them have so much experience, and they're also hilarious. It's definitely not a podcast you want to listen to with kids in the car. And if you have, like, I grew up with brothers, so I can appreciate like dirty boy humor. So I love it. If you don't love that, it might not be the best fit, but they're so smart, and their just like values for nutrition and fitness and health are so spot on to mine. And the way they articulate their points and their values has been helpful for me in forming the way to articulate mine. It's just a helpful to hear someone else, you know, say it out loud. So that's been a huge podcast for me. And it's super inspiring, and I learned so much. Like, they bring up a lot of new research that I may not have seen yet, and then I'll go and look for it. They also sell online programs that they have one that I've utilized. It's very kind of like physical therapy based. It's for really powerful for correcting like muscular imbalances and correcting movement patterns. So if you're a personal trainer and that's a weakness for you, I would definitely suggest looking into that program that they offer, because it's incredible. It's very comprehensive. It's not too like sciencey. It's very user friendly. So I love that one. The influencer podcast I really liked. I haven't listened to that in a while, but that one has, especially for if you have an Instagram or a business or anything, a podcast, great information. I love the influencer podcast.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one too. I listen to that one.
I really like she seems so sweet. There was a third one that I thought of. I really like the Jillian Michaels podcast. It's just funny. Not the most recent season, but all the past ones, because she had a different co-host who was hilarious. So I liked the Jillian Michaels podcast, and her personality is kind of similar to mine, like no filter, very straightforward, no bullshit. So I liked hers. And she, despite her Biggest Loser stuff that I don't love, granted she didn't love it either, she's really smart and very practical, and she's not into any of the crazy fads or anything, which I appreciate. I'm trying to think. Oh, and then there's one non-fitness podcast that I've been loving lately called Those Conspiracy Guys. It's just a fun one. There are these like three Irish dudes who bring up different conspiracies, and then they do all this research, and they throw out all the research that they found, both sides, and then at the end of the episode, they vote on whether they or not they think the conspiracy is legit or not. And it's just like super interesting and a fun thing to listen to, because I do so much with fitness and health. Sometimes I need something that's just different. And it's just like really funny because that Irish humor is hilarious. And it's just kind of thought provoking. And it's just fun to think about like Atlantis and just these like kind of silly conspiracies. So I like that one just for something different.
I'd love that. I'm totally going to check out that last one. What is it called? The Conspiracy Guys?
Those Conspiracy Guys, yeah. And I started at the beginning and listened to most of them. And now I kind of nitpick and just like whatever ones. I have a weird obsession with like serial killers, I think because of the psychology of it. Started doing some true crime stuff. So now I'm going through and picking out all of like the true crime episodes. And it's just like fascinating because even if the conspiracy is like totally bullshit, they will still go through like all of the evidence of the cases or the circumstances and say like, okay, this seems real, or okay, this probably is not real. And they kind of dissect it. So they're definitely not biased. So they're not like pushing conspiracies. They're kind of more discussing them.
So interesting.
I love it. I'm
obsessed with podcasts. I listen to them when I'm commuting, when I'm, you know, doing chores, whatever. So those are really great. I'm going to link them in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, that's like my new favorite one when I don't feel, when I'm kind of like pooped out at the end of the day and I'm like, I can't do anything else work related. I do that one. It's so funny.
So where can everybody find you on Instagram, on your blog, if they want to reach out to you with any like personal training questions?
Yeah. So my blog is www.sk-wellness.com. And then my Instagram is s.kert_wellness. And then I do have a Facebook group. I don't, full disclosure, don't do much with it, but I'm trying to fix that. It's just SK Health and Wellness. And those are kind of where I am the most. Probably Instagram is the best to get in touch with me. And then if you ever wanted to like DM or email, all of that information is on Instagram. And right now I'm working. Life just got so crazy for about 6 months. So my personal posts have been slacking. I'm trying to get those back on track now that I have a puppy too. She can be a little, she's a good little mascot, so I have her on there now. Those are probably, Instagram is probably the best place to reach me, and then the blog is also linked on there as well.
And I have one more question for you, and I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Gingerade.
Oh, is that the GTS brand?
Yes, Gingerade. It's my favorite.
Love it. I love how you didn't even hesitate. You were like, ginger.
I have four of them in the fridge right now.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been really fun.